Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, after two episodes of the new season of Real Housewives of New York City, I couldn't wait a minute longer to chat with Ebony K. Williams. In today's bonus episode, the newest cast member dishes on her past, her spiritual and intellectual connection with Sonia, and the upcoming tension with Ramona in the Hamptons. Plus, Ebony shares which Married to Medicine doc has become her mentor. Let's take a listen. All right, guys, we are here with the newest Real Housewife of New York City, Ebony K. Williams. What's going on?
What is going on, Eric? I'm excited to chat.
I know. It's your first time on the Daily Dish podcast. So how does it feel to be a Real Housewife of New York City?
Whoop, whoop. Listen, it's still pretty surreal. I mean, it's, you know, a franchise I've watched as a fan for years. So now to be, you know, a part of this world with these women is, you know, really dope. It's special. It's cool. It's, you know, I think it's something I'm still very much getting used to.
Right. You're still processing it, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I loved in the very first episode, you know, you were so honest about your past. So tell us a little bit more about your life before you joined Housewives.
Oh, goodness. You know, it was a super nerdy kid, went to college at 16, graduated law school at 23, started practicing. And that was really, you know, what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the next Johnny Cochran. So I was on that path and loved the practice of law and just wanted a bigger microphone, if you will, a bigger ability to amplify things that I thought were really important in the world, like social justice and freedom and, you know, equality. So moved to Los Angeles in 2010 to pursue a broadcasting career and started really from scratch there because I knew no one in the business and really didn't even know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to be in the industry and started in talk radio. And long story, very short, grinded, as you hear me talk about in the first episode,
yeah,
to create, you know, what we know in the industry, you need a demo reel with all these clips and you know, excerpts of you, you know, showing your ability to do the work at a high level. The only thing is a lot of that stuff, none of that stuff really pays in the beginning.
So, right.
So I found myself in quite the financial conundrum where, you know, I was coming off of my first divorce, hopefully my last, and, you know, trying to rebuild financially, but not really earning a lot of money. So, you know, I wanted to invest in myself and my dream, but it literally cost me. And would I do it again, knowing everything I know now? I don't know. You know, I was younger then. I didn't have as much responsibility then as I do now. And it was a risk in all the biggest ways possible.
Absolutely. Well,
but then not because I always believed in myself, but yes. You know, it's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thinking of yourself 10, 15 years ago, even further back versus now, what do you think the biggest difference is?
You know, I think I'm just a lot more competent in my skill set, to be really candid with you. I think I always had, you know, some natural gifts. And I think natural gifts are great, but you know, nothing beats hard work. You know, nothing beats those reps, you know, just doing it and being in the chair and doing interview after interview and honing those skills. And I think now, you know, I've been blessed with those opportunity to get those things started. And
absolutely,
you know, it's made a big difference in, I think, my confidence and my ability to show up in spaces with a really strong sense of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we see that. I mean, just in the first two episodes of this season, you really do show up with this very strong conviction. And I think that's really appealing to people to see someone standing in their confidence and in their truth.
Yeah, I think so. I think hopefully, and I've gotten some of this feedback already on social, that when especially, you know, I was going to say younger people, but really people of all ages, when they do that and they see me doing that, it really empowers them to do it. And that's really the point, right? You know, to really give people the energy and hopefully example that it takes for them to kind of apply that to their own life, you know, and have that impact for other people.
Absolutely. If you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what do you think it would be?
Trust the process, really trust the process. You know, there are no shortcuts. You're not going to bypass anything. And the fact that your path might look completely different than someone else's and might take seemingly much longer to manifest and realize itself, it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. You know, I think a lot of my career, I've felt like I've done important work and work I'm proud of, but I felt it was kind of niche in terms of reach. And, you know, at some point you start second guessing yourself, you know, and
yeah,
like, oh goodness, you know, am I not as good as I think I am? Or am I not approaching it the right way? Or, you know, is it something innate about me? And none of those things tend to be true. It's just your process. And I would love to tell my younger self to just buckle up, put your head down, do the work, and don't occupy yourself with where it's going or how when you're going to have your quote big break. I don't even know that there is a big break in life.
Right.
I think that's kind of a false expectation. I think it's a series of mini breaks. And the question is, what do you do with those mini break opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. And watch that FICO score.
Listen, honey, watch it like a hawk, baby. Okay.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to you being like, well, I had money in the bank, but damn, I checked that out. And that was another story.
Well, you know, it's a difference between earning money and being fiscally fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, frankly, that's something else I probably would have told my younger self. Right. I'm extremely good at going out there and getting it. You know, I know how to make a dollar. What I didn't know at the time was how to be fiscally responsible with those dollars. It's never about how much you make. Not really. It's about what you do with the money that you make. And, you know, that's a lesson that I learned over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. As a new member of the Bravo family, have you connected with anyone outside of your cast so far?
Yeah, you know, as I've spoken a little bit about, you know, Dr. Simone Whitmore from Married to Medicine is literally my my big sister, my mentor. You know, even right before filming started, she reached out to me and just offered me great words of wisdom by way of, you know, you cannot please all the people all the time. There are a lot of different people that are going to watch this show and think a lot of different things about you. So you sit in your truth and you hold on to that. And also just treating my castmates with respect and not thinking that I understood who they were deeply just because of some things I saw on television before I joined the show. And I do think a lot of people make that mistake. You know, you watch a couple episodes or maybe you've watched every episode and you come into the franchise with preconceived notions and alliances or, you know, enemies in your head. And I just think it really doesn't serve, you know, the experience. So I'm really glad Simone gave me some great words of wisdom.
I love that. I love Dr. Simone. I love Married to Medicine. Oh, such a good show.
Yeah.
On Watch What Happens Live, you actually said that Sonia was the least welcoming of the group. How so?
Well, you know, it really was based on that very first encounter with her because
at the townhouse. Yeah,
it was really just the townhouse where, you know, again, I'm also from the South, different sensibilities. So I'm used to kind of big old, huge, warm welcomings of new people until, you know, you kind of give them a reason not to like you. maybe I was expecting a little more from Sonia, you know, a little more engagement. It did feel to me when I first walked in the townhouse, you know, she kind of was only really engaging with Leah, knowing Sonia so well now, that was just where she was familiar. And, you know, she's actually a very introverted person like me.
Yeah.
And she was really just taking me in. So now I know that wasn't personal. That wasn't shade. But at the time, you know, I didn't know what that was about. I was like, wow, she's not really engaging with me. And it really, I felt like it took a minute, you know, kind of for her to see me and really kind of give me space to connect.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I thought it was interesting because you also said that she was your most intellectual equal on Watch What Happens Live. Mm-hmm. So how has your friendship with her evolved since you first met?
Just in a really beautiful, dynamic way. Sonia is really in many ways my heart. You know, she, you know, Sonia sent me a book from Amazon a couple of days ago. And I think that just kind of goes to show you, and it's a deep book, you know, it's a book about connecting with the human spirit and human mind. And I just don't think people know that side of Sonia Morgan. And so a lot of people, I think, were surprised when I said she was my intellectual equal, you know, amongst this group of women. But for me, she is. And I think all these women have done things that exemplify their intelligence and their business savvy. But Sonia, I think on a deeply spiritual, intellectual level is really deeply aligned and really working on herself and is not afraid to challenge convention that has been her norm in an effort of personal growth. That's really what I love the most about Sonia Morgan.
Right, right. No, I agree. And, you know, I said to my co-host at the start of this season that I was a little bit worried to see Sonia back in the townhouse because I was afraid we were going to see that kind of regression, right? That she was going to go back into those older ways, being back in that old house. But I think to your point, you know, she is trying really hard to stay, you know, spiritually and emotionally connected and centered and everything. So I hope we see that over the rest of the season.
You will. You're also going to see some pretty intentional efforts from Leah, and supported by me to keep her in that place, you know, to keep her in the present. Let's stay focused on the future. There are so many amazing things in front of life for Sonia Morgan, and really getting her to buy into that. You know, the best right. of her life is actually not behind her. And I think for a long time, she's felt that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get into the brunch that you guys have at the townhouse, because there was a lot of chatter about everyone's dating life. And you were talking about a guy that you were seeing at that time. Are you still seeing him now?
I actually just left seeing him not 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
So I'll just leave that there. So he's very much still in my life, you know, so yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Going into the Hamptons, what was your expectation heading to Ramona's house?
I think I knew enough to not expect too much, you know, meaning very much still sizing everybody up. And I knew they were sizing me up, you know. And I mean, you know, it's almost like if you could have had a visualization of what was going on energy wise, just imagine, you know, a classroom full of students, you know, kind of frivolously, you know, taking notes, scrupulously rather, taking notes on each other, you know. I kind of joke with the women, and they know, you know, that I say this, you know, I kind of had a file on everybody. And I knew that the Hamptons was I knew I would come back from the Hamptons with a much richer file on everybody. and they, the same, you know, they definitely got a big old dose of who I am and what I'm about. So,
yes. And I'm so excited to see more of that. And I know, you know, in the second episode, Ramona makes a comment about the help, and that doesn't sit very well with you. And you address it in the next episode. So can you tease a little bit about how Ramona responds to that?
You know, Ramona's a runner. Ramona is somebody, before we even got into what didn't sit well with me with the comment and why I felt the way about the comment, Ramona wanted to shut down the conversation before it started, literally. You'll see that.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is where there's that opportunity for personal growth on both sides of the conversation, not just their growth, but my growth. And it's like, you know, I had a choice in that moment. You know, I did just meet this woman. Do I kind of concede her point? Okay, not now. And then not now to me just always feels like, okay, so when, you know, you don't want to discuss it now. So,
right.
You know, is it tomorrow at 6? Is it Tuesday at 4?
Yeah. You know, what's the timeline here?
you know, should we calendar this? So that kind of felt like if I allow this moment to pass us by, we're not going to really get to have an authentic connection, because I'm going to keep looking at you sideways until this is addressed. And so I really pushed her for the sake of a budding friendship. You know, it's like, listen, I really do want to have a friendship with you, but I'm not going to be able to get there if I don't figure out like what your intention is real quick. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and considering when she did first meet you at Sonia's, she was like, I immediately feel connected to you, you know? So hopefully she.
I wanted to maintain that, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Feelings, you know, that we had brewing, like, let's keep it in that place. And I don't want to start thinking something that's inconsistent with that impression of you because you just call this lady to help and the wrong name, you know?
Right. Well, you guys get all dressed up for this Burning Man party. So in your opinion, who had the best look of the night?
Oh, honey, Leah slayed. Honey. And that really wasn't surprising. A, it's her event. And, you know, it just was so her aesthetic, we'll call it. Now, you know, it was not your girl's aesthetic, not with these festival types of ensembles, but, you know, it's Leah. I love Leah. You know, I felt very gracious that she invited me to participate in this event with this group of women. So I gave it the best college try I had. I gave you as much, you know, edge as I can give you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you look great. You're giving me kind of like Catwoman Gaga vibes, you know, like I got a strong look from
going,
you.
You know, dominatrixy, you know, that was like my dominatrix alter ego.
Right, right, that's right. So maybe you should check out Real Housewives of Atlanta because they love that.
Not go to the dungeon, honey. Okay.
Look out. I have to say too, Ramona pulled off a really incredible Burning Man look, I thought.
You know what? Her glam was incredible. You know, so when we arrived, you know, her glam was already done. And I was like, go off, Ramona. I mean, she had like a really funky pony and, you know, had feathers and everywhere, you know, and it's my understanding of Ramona being historically very kind of prudish. And so when she had those nipple crystals on, you know, I was like, all right, child, go.
I know. We have come a long way with Ramona. I mean, I remember her walking off a reunion set.
Yes.
Because somebody was taking like sexy photos, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the first walk off of a reunion. So yeah, Ramona fully committed. We'll say that. Ramona fully committed.
Well, when you guys sit down with the healer, you open up about your family to the group and talk about, you know, what it really means to have a family and what is considered a family. So has your perspective on that changed since that night?
Overwhelmingly so, Erica.
Yeah.
You know, I think I carried a lot of shame around family coming into that experience with the healer because, you know, I grew up with a single mother. I never knew my father, not only didn't know him, didn't even know who he was, you know, so I had no identity as it related to my paternity. You know, I was briefly married, quickly divorced, have no children, am a woman of a particular age, and just really felt like a total outsider when it came to family. Like everyone talks about family, and especially like in an Instagram era where, you know, Mother's Day is coming, you know, there's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You're going to get a timeline flooded with all these beautiful Mother's Day pictures. Father's Day, same thing. You know, Easter, all these holidays and, you know, people, my contemporaries with their children.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that. You know, I mean, I have a mother, but that's she and my grandmother were the only family I had. And I, you know, my grandmother, you know, as you know, I talk about was dying. So it was just like, I'm about to have no family.
Right.
And I felt a lot of shame around that. And what I have grown to learn in such a beautiful way is that you actually have a choice around defining what family is. It doesn't have to be this nuclear thing that we've been kind of force fed for years. You know, I'm actually so much more empowered around defining and curating a family as I need it to be for myself. And my therapy has really helped with that too. You know, there's like the family you're born into, known as your family of origin. And my family of origin was just extremely small. But you also get to do a family of creation. And that can be, you know, marriage, children, you know, biological, adopted, step, God, you know, whatever, and friends. Like I now start to refer to my friends as a part of my family. And this group of women in their own, you know, respective ways have become a bit of family to me as well.
Yeah. A chosen family.
Chosen family. And that's really powerful.
Wow. I love that. The night carries on after the healer, but you end up going in a little bit early. So talk about how you were feeling in that moment. Was there just a little bit of weight on you or what was that?
You know, I've always been known for an Irish exit. And you know, not to make light of it. I think it was a combination of a few things. Number one, you know, it was just a long, heavy emotional day. You know, a brand new group of women. They are extremely close with each other. So just because of circumstance, I don't think anything personal. I was very much the outsider. Then, you know, pouring out my heart, and I'm so glad I did, but it just took a lot out of me around my grandmother and family and just really trying to open up that vulnerability to connect with these women. I was just emotionally exhausted after all of that. You know, and then it seemed like they were going into second gear with
right
lady on the stilts, child. And I was like, you know, I gave y'all some pool time. I gave y'all an emotional outcry and I gave y'all a look. A bit
time for bed.
Yeah, time for bed. Lights out. And I'm just not one for goodbyes. And they always just because then it's like, no, stay. And I just didn't want to, like, you know, go back and forth with, you know, being convinced to, you know, continue to like stay longer than I felt comfortable or just, you know, so I was like, I'm just going to peace out and see y'all in the morning.
Right. Right. I love an Irish goodbye. I mean, I am Irish, so I will say that much.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. But like, you know, the saying goodbye process can take so long.
Right?
You just got to go around to everybody. It's like, oh, get me out of here. I'm just going to go.
Oh, and I'll explain tomorrow. Yes.
Well, I do love hearing too about your bond with Sonia now, because I think when you guys are sitting around with the healer and you show your vulnerability, I feel like you did set an example for her in some ways, because she mentions that when they get to her about, you know, the healer gets to her about how she wants to show a little bit more of that. So I definitely think when you talk about this kind of spiritual and intellectual connection you have with her, that in that moment was something that maybe she started to recognize that you could be a really good friend for her?
I think so. I mean, so everything changed for me and Sonia in the Hamptons. And, you know, I think it was that healing circle. I think she was like, you know, look at this girl. She just got here. She doesn't really know us and she's willing to pour it all out. So maybe I need to, you know, take another turn at this. Cause you remember, like, she kind of, you know, said it real casual, kind of stated the question. And she really had to revisit it and answer it all over again, because I think she recognized that she wanted to participate on a deeper level. And I was really proud of her for doing that.
Yeah. In a preview for next week's episode, we see Sonia freak out over this like Wells Fargo comment that Ramona makes. So what can you tease about that?
What I can tease is there are receipts. Okay. So
bank receipts.
Literally. So there is a definitive position on that issue, and you will see it play out in real time.
Okay.
Sonia was doing the most. Oh my gosh. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask, we see that stunning Tribeca apartment in this most recent episode, but are you currently living in Harlem?
I am. I'm back in Harlem. I got to tell you, that apartment in Tribeca was absolutely gorgeous. You know, views that will take your breath away, but there's a house and then there's a home, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that place, for all of its, you know, grandeur, it never, ever felt like home, you know, which, you know, you'll see play out in the show and why. And, you know, I wasn't even sleeping in that master bedroom, for God's sakes, you know?
Right.
And so now I'm back in Harlem. I'm in a temporary dwelling as we speak, just because my unit, I'm building my condo. It's new construction. They are almost done with everything, but there's just a couple more layers for completion. And I will be moved in hopefully in the next month or so.
Awesome.
But I'm just back in Harlem. I'm right around the corner from my new condo. And me and Carrie James, who you'll see more of, and you know, this is, you know, that's my baby. And we just are so happy to be in a space that feels familiar. I was in Harlem for 5 years before I moved down to Tribeca to be with my ex-fiance. And this is just home for me. It really is.
Now, do you happen to live near Bevy Smith? Because I spoke to her a few weeks back, actually probably a few months back at this point. And she was teasing me all about like, oh, wait till you meet Ebony. You're going to love her. And I know she is like ride or die Harlem girl.
Oh, Bevy is the true queen of Harlem. I mean, Bevy is born and bred and reigns supreme above one. No, very seriously. And I actually, the very first time I met Bevy, it was when I first moved to Manhattan for my CBS News gig. I was living on 138th and I was walking past one of the restaurants. And this was pre-COVID, and Harlem has always kind of had those wonderful outdoor, you know, bistro style seating arrangements. And Bevy was just sitting there in all her glamour. And I was like, oh my God, that's Bevy Smith. And I just fangirled out. And she was so gracious. She didn't know me from a can of paint. And she gave me her cell phone and she said, you are a young lady in media. And as a young Black woman, I want to support you and call me anytime. And that's how our relationship started.
Oh my God, that is amazing. Women supporting other women. We love it.
Truly. Yes.
That is so awesome. Well, Ebony, thank you so much for chatting with me today. We're so excited to have you on the show. I'm so excited to hear you're in Harlem and you got this whole new place coming and you still got the man in your life.
it's a really good thing. You know, I think I'm at a really exciting point in my life, you know, and I'm excited to actually, for the first time, excited to not know what's next.
Right.
You know, because it actually creates all this like wonderful possibility. And I'm very excited about that.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today, Ebony. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, love. Talk soon. Bye.
All right. Bye. And we will be back with an all new episode this Saturday. Bye, guys. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.